Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is going to be interesting.
Is
one,
it?
We haven't seen each other for a week.
It's been a long time.
Two, we have giant coffees.
Mm-hmm.
Three, I just woke up. And four, we're literally getting this episode to Mark a day before it goes up. So we're going to start this episode with a chant for Mark.
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 Yeah.
Mark. That was good. Roll the music, Mark.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Unsolicited Advice. I'm Ashley.
I'm Taryn.
And this is the episode where we advise you, like all the rest of the episodes.
Can we just talk? Me and Ashley are like, oh my God, first episode of the year. Let's be like, 2021. Wait, is it 2021?
2021.
Yeah. And then we were like, wait, we already dropped an episode.
It looks very similar to 2020.
So far.
I mean, sure.
Oh,
we're off to a great start.
I thought you meant like the number. I was like, no, it doesn't. But no, but yeah, this year sucks already. Me and Ash literally rang it in by getting a very aggressive Postmates guy.
Yeah.
And I just want to warn you guys, you know, like when people tell you like, oh, I found out what's really in chocolate milk. And you're like, you have a split second of like, do I want to hear this? Oof. And chance ruining something I love.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving you that warning now. This might deter some of you from using Postmates, which we honestly have always been big fans of.
We have at least one Postmates here a day.
Yeah, it's honestly
between
true.
The three of us. We try our hardest to eat at home, but you know, all three of us are doing a lot of stuff. So between the three of us, usually there is at least one Postmates here every single day.
Yeah. So I ordered ice cream. Mm-hmm. It was New Year's Eve.
We were trying to, you know, we were stuck at home. So we were like, let's celebrate. Let's have some fun.
We all ordered like a bunch of different items from different places. So I had ordered ice cream. Yeah. Big buffet. So, I get a notification that my Postmates is here. So I run out, grab the bag, and then come back. So then Ashley goes out because the Postmates had come back saying something about ice cream. And I was like, yeah, I had ice cream. So we get the ice cream and we start opening the bags. And there's this bag of like rice, curry, and something else. And I was like, oh, like who ordered this? And they were like, you did. And I was like, no, I didn't. Like I didn't order this. But
preface, before there was even a realization that Taryn hadn't ordered this food, I had already taken a bite.
Yeah, because it's like all of us ordered different stuff. So as soon as food came in, we were starving. But so
guys,
we all just started like going in.
She got garlic naan. And I love garlic.
She loves the garlic
but
naan.
But specifically garlic bread. And I'm a big fan of garlic naan. So I literally, the second I saw it, I took a huge bite out of it.
Yeah. So we realize it's not our food, but we're like, oh, well, like it's already in here. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to do?
Now.
And so we get a knock at the door. So we go back and the Postmates guy is like, basically, I gave you the wrong order. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, we already like touched it. Like it's been open. We touched it.
Well, and it was already in our house, let alone we had touched
like
it.
Like the second we grab it and bring it in our house, like
it's done.
It's done. Mm-hmm. Like it's done. So anyways, he said he's freaking out and I felt bad for him. And I was so nice. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like we all ordered different food. Like, you know, we're trying to make this a New Year's fun night. Like, I'm sorry. And he's like, well, what do you mean it's been touched? And I was like, no, like it's been opened. And he was like, okay, well, can you just Can you just put it in a bag and give it back? And I was like, for what? Like for what? I was like, no, like we've touched the food. Like we started eating the food. And he kept asking me to put it in a bag and give it back to him. And so I straight up told him, I was like, I'm really not comfortable with that because Like, we're in a pandemic, mm-hmm. and if we're giving it to you in a bag, if you're going to give that to someone else, like, I'm not comfortable being responsible for that. You know what I mean? So anyways, he was like kind of cussing and kind of getting upset, but he was and he like walked out. And then we get, the doorbell rings again. Mm-hmm. So this time we go out and he's basically saying, you need to pay me for the food, but in a very aggressive way.
Extremely aggressive way.
This is the first life lesson of anything. I would have honestly, if he would have came back and been like, I screwed up, I'm sorry, like whatever. I probably would have been like, I'm just going to throw extra money in the tip to cover it because I feel bad for him because mm-hmm. it was obviously an accident. But he came at us so aggressively, and this time Ashley was at the door, and so she was being so nice and trying to be like, I understand it was a mistake.
I killed him with kindness.
Totally.
It's my go-to move.
And he ends by calling us stupid B-words. Mm-hmm. And I thought I heard it, but I wasn't quite sure. Mm-hmm. And then Ash turns around and was like, did he just? Mm-hmm. And then it just got bad from there. We're like, don't call us that. And then like, it's your fault. Like, it's not our fault. I don't know why you're being so mad. He kept getting so aggressive to the point where then he yelled, go hang yourselves. I hope you slit your wrists. F you.
And we jaws to the floor. So shocked.
I've been yelled at a few times mm-hmm. in my life. I've never had someone say something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even know. I literally just stood there and I can get a little crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little crazy. Yeah. But I literally was just sitting there because then my brain went straight into, oh my God, this guy's nuts. Yeah. And he knows where we live. So then I was like, he's a Postmates.
Who literally just lost his mind.
Yeah.
Has our address and is just telling us to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
I was like, lock the doors, seriously. Set the alarm. I ran upstairs and was staring out the front window with the lights off. Yeah. Like a psycho person watching his every move
I just sniffed so aggressively into the microphone. Like I felt it. I'm sorry.
Either way, long story short, we survived. We're okay. Nothing happened. But watch out for Postmates, guys, because we're pretty sure he was going to put the food back in the bag and hand it out.
Mm-mm. Which now I will say, if you learn anything from us, one, maybe don't order Postmates. Two, if someone's aggressively asking for the food back, like we should have just put it in a bag and given it back because it was so clearly opened that the next people that got it would not have taken it. What is this?
I don't think I was thinking that clearly because the whole time I was thinking, excuse me, sir, like we're in a pandemic. I was thinking very like politically. I was like, excuse me, like you shouldn't be doing anything. Like you shouldn't touch this. I've touched it, you know? That's how I was thinking. Instead, I should have been like, here you go.
Yeah.
There's no way you can give this back.
Yeah.
Like it's clearly been eaten. And I should have that would have saved a lot of lessons learned.
It was not fun, but literally that's how we started our New Year's. And we just were laying on the couch, like bummed out.
And it's honestly been like that ever since.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, seriously. I called my friend whose husband is a police officer. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Cause then he was with a girl and the girl came up to the, to the house after that and was like demanding food again. And I basically told her like, look, like there's not a conversation to be had anymore. Like the things he said, like, I'm not comfortable interacting with you guys anymore. So you need to leave.
Which was the perfect thing to say.
Yeah. And she was like, okay, I'm calling the cops. And I was like, honestly, please do. Like, please do. Because at
they're
this
not
point,
come
like
for a Postmates call, no, that's what I'll tell you.
Like you just said like basically a death threat. So like you're out of like, you know, so anyways, and she was like, okay, he's on duty. He said, there's nothing you can do, but if they come back, like don't interact, like call 911, but also here's his personal number. And I felt so much safer.
I was like, okay, we're good. We're fine.
I have my hero in my pocket. I'm good. But yeah, it hit midnight and we were like, okay, are you guys tired? Like, cool. Like it was weird. It was weird. And you had an allergy attack.
Oh, I had a bad allergy attack.
That was our start. So
happy
yeah.
New Year to me.
So if you guys were thinking you had a bad New Year's, well, we just hopefully made you feel
you're
better.
Welcome.
You're welcome. Okay, Ash, well, you want to like start us off with something? You got to turn it up.
I have a turn it up. If you guys, do you want to explain what a turn it up is while sure. I go ahead and pull it up?
Turn it up is basically a segment. My name is Taryn. I do awkward, weird things happen to me, blah, 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 et cetera. So I started sharing them in the beginning of this podcast. It turned into this movement where people started sharing their embarrassing movements.
Very accurate.
I said embarrassing movements. And then it kind of got named Tearing It Up, you know, brought back my old MySpace name. And then it's a thing now. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's Ashley's, honestly, it's Ashley's favorite part
of my favorite because I love a good laugh. Okay, here we go. Let's get into it. Hi, Ash and Taryn. I love when people call me Ash.
Yeah, does it make you feel... I'm trying to think what...
Immediately, it could be a complete stranger, but when people call me Ash, I feel completely like... I get this sense of comfort, like I feel safe with them.
Yeah.
Mine is I think it's because like all my friends and family call me Ash.
Yeah.
So anyways.
I get Tear or when... I always guys have called me T. And I always felt like, okay, what's up?
I absolutely love you guys and the pod. And also, I've watched Ashley and Alicia's videos for years now. Also, shameless self-promo, I just started a YouTube channel. Check it out. And she sent us a link, which is super cute. Anyways, onto my tearing it up. Okay, so this story starts out when I was in the mountains for Christmas break to go skiing. My family consists of me and my older brother and mom and dad. We had all stopped at the lodge bathroom before we started skiing. We were all going to meet outside the front of the lodge when we were done. I finished quickly and went to find my family. Keep in mind, this is during COVID-19, so obviously masks are required, making it hard to recognize people. So I saw my dad, she puts in parentheses, or so I thought.
No.
And I ran over to him. He was scrolling on his phone, and me being the obnoxious daughter that I am, I lean over his shoulder to see what he's looking at. It was some girl's Instagram, and I became instantly intrigued. I grabbed his phone out of his hand and yelled, "I'm gonna tell mom." He looked annoyed and grabbed the phone from me, and it was at this point that I realized he was not my dad.
Oh my God.
It was a random skier dude. And oh my gosh, it was so awkward. I ran back to the bathroom and stayed in the stall for 20 minutes until I thought for sure he had to have left. Anyways, I hope you got a good laugh. I love you guys so much. And remember to look at someone's face before you snatch their phone from them. So good.
That's so funny. I didn't think about, I mean, I guess because like when I'm out in public, I'm not really like interacting with anyone or like I go with you to the store and it's like we're together the whole time.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about that, like mistaking people.
Yes. That's and funny. I will say me and my family went to the mountains during this holiday season as well to go snowboarding. With beanies and masks and sometimes goggles, I couldn't find Alicia.
That's true.
I was like, unless you're wearing like a very bright patterned color or something, I was like, where is she? You know?
That's scary if you think about kids.
Yeah.
Like if you had your kids with you.
Oh, my kid would be wearing neon yellow so that I could spot him or her from like anywhere, you know?
Like I've never been a fan of Alicia's. Honestly.
But right now.
I'd have that kid strapped to me.
It's hard. Like you can't see their face. And it's rude to ask someone to remove their mask if you're not sure. So it's like, you just, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard time.
That's
hard
time, dude.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Thank you.
Okay, so before I get to my story, just a refresher, because I don't know, you know, it's a new year. Mm-hmm. We're anticipating some new people coming to us, mm-hmm. manifesting growth. So if you guys are new, we are on all the socials. We're most active on Instagram, mm-hmm. and it's Unsolicited Advice Pod, but we have a YouTube channel, so you could watch us sitting on Ashley's bed with our little further table notice. Trays. And we have Twitter, which, I mean, we need to step up on. We have all the things. So mm-hmm. Definitely follow us. We like to interact the most on Instagram, like I said, and especially like preparing for episodes. We'll do polls and things like that on there. So anyways, if you want more of us, you know, that's where you can go.
Follow us there.
All right, I'm going to get into my story. It is titled, Am I Wrong for Missing Him?
Ooh.
And I will say this one was definitely a different topic than I thought by reading it. What would you guess?
I would think that him and her broke up.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good thing, but she still wants him.
That's what I thought. Right? I was like, basically it's a crappy breakup where she's like, he's toxic, but I miss him.
He's a jerk, but I still want him and I miss him.
And I went into it being, if any of you have listened to every episode, I get really heated when people feel bad for feeling anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was like, ooh, I'm going in.
What's
right?
our quote? Your feelings are valid.
Yeah. You have a right to feel whatever what you feel. Feel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have like a solid quote, but we should coin it.
Should we do it? I just reposted it. Someone made an edit.
Oh.
Your feelings are always valid.
Your feelings are always valid.
Draw by Hannah. Hey,
Draw
girl.
By Hannah.
She made us an edit that said your feelings are always valid.
I just want to say, all of the like edits we get are literally my favorite pastime. Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. never stop. I will say though, I miss that like weird edits where they put like our faces on things. Yes. So
that was if
you
want to
get
time.
Creative with that, you know, just going to throw it out there. Okay. Dear Taryn and Ash.
You got called Ash again.
They know you. They love you.
It's a thing.
I want to start by saying I love you too and love y'all's podcast. I really feel like I have two new best friends in y'all, and y'all bring so much light on my darker days. Guys, I remember when we first started and people would write y'all and I'd feel so uncomfortable saying it.
Oof, yeah.
And now I feel so fluent in y'all.
Yeah.
And I even use it more like in just my everyday language.
The other day it just fell out so naturally. And I like shocked myself and I had to take a moment and just be like, did I just casually say y'all and like and mean it and like do
it off.
Well, like I did that
the first time I
you
read
guys
it,
are changing
like,
us.
Y'all
are like, changing us. Okay. See what I did?
Yes. Good job.
Thank you.
Oh, damn it. Okay. 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 So much light on my darker days. I would like to remain anonymous, but y'all can know my name. Look, that's her name, but we can't say it.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This email is really hard to write, but I hope by typing it out, I feel a little less crazy and a little less alone. Also, I do have a therapist and I will be sharing all of this with her as well. Good for you, girl.
I love that.
I'm actually in the process of looking for a therapist mm-hmm. because I just feel I've felt really like heavy and like in a cloud for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because I'm not scared of that. Like I never have been scared of when I start to enter into a depression because I know that like I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's just like something's happening, you know? So I learned a long time ago to not fear that place, but be like, okay, You're going there.
We're going into a season.
Notify someone you love. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're still taking steps. But if that means I need to lay in bed and be sad, that's fine. If that means I need to tell my roommates, guys, I'm in it right now and like I need a day, that's fine. Mm-hmm. So I definitely am probably the lowest I've been since quarantine. In a weird way, though, I'm still like fine. And I don't even know if people would necessarily recognize that I'm in that place, but I definitely am at the phase now of like starting to like take steps to get out. Like I've let myself be in it and mm-hmm. now I'm like, okay, girl, like let's get some fresh air. You know what I mean?
And I feel like you'll go through periods where like you'll really want to talk about it with us. And then there's periods where you don't. And it's just like, okay, you got to learn to just like bob and weave yeah. and flow with it and just realize that this is something that you're in, but eventually you'll get out of it.
Yeah.
Which but it is, doesn't, it's not bad to sit there and be in it for a second. Yeah.
And it's so funny because I feel like we, like you're similar too, where you separate. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is like, I definitely can tell more outwardly when you're going through stuff, whereas sometimes you'll have to be like, like you have to like ask for clarification.
I have zero poker face.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm mad, you know. If I'm sad, you know. And I'm probably playing music that goes along with that mood. Yeah.
I come downstairs and it's Bon Iver and candles are lit. I'm like, oh, she's in a solid
I'm feeling
place.
Some kind of way. So good.
Ah, mood. But anyways, all this to say, I feel like a lot of us, I think too, because we had so much hope for like a new year, and we're being met with like more just like dysfunction in our world. And so I think a lot of us need to be careful of where that brings. Cause mm-hmm. sometimes when you're on a really high hope level and it gets met with disappointment, it's easy to fall into that. So don't be scared of it, but mm-hmm. like look it straight in the face and be like, all right, you're here. It's like having like a depressed, twin that's like chained to you that you're just like, okay, I'm acknowledging, like you're sitting right here with mm-hmm. me, so like I'm gonna be here with you, we're gonna get through this together and then like move forward, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't, that was a weird analogy, but you get my drift. Okay. My 34-year-old cousin has battled addiction for over a decade. Growing up, we were close even though there's a large age gap between me and him and his brothers. They became like older brothers I've never had. My cousin would always listen to my stories about the Jonas Brothers or the boys I had crushes on and had the best heart. He was so funny and hardworking. Sadly, my cousin lost his fight with his addiction on January 1st of this year. 2021 started off by telling 2020 to hold its beer for my family. Girl, I feel that. Sadly, as we all got older, we drifted apart and I haven't even talked to or seen this cousin in probably around 3 years. So here's where I need advice. His death has hit me like a train, but I feel like I have no right to mourn losing him because we hadn't spoken in so long. He had a whole life with a girlfriend and kids and his brothers and parents. So I feel like they have the right to mourn losing him, but I don't. I've been sobbing alone at night, realizing he is no longer around and I can't get back in touch with him. I also mourn all the life he didn't get to live, both while he was here and now that he is gone. I'm thankful he's in heaven, free from the chains of his addictions, but I miss him dearly. I still feel wrong for mourning and I'm unsure how to express this to my family and best friends. I feel like I could use a hug, but I am the type of person who is so independent. She will never ask for help from anyone. I know it's wrong and I'm trying to work on it. Do y'all have any advice? I'm sorry I rambled and that this has some dark topics on it. Love y'all a ton and pray that y'all are blessed as much as you bless your listeners. Much love, Anonymous.
Mm. Wow, that's not at all what I thought it was going to be.
Same. Oof.
Oh, that is so rough. I'm so sorry. That's a rough start to an already like rough couple of months.
I just like, obviously, I'm sure you were going to say the same thing too. Like, first of all, never question if you have a right to feel anything because like the thing is, even when we feel things that we don't understand why it hits us so hard, there's always so much more that's under the surface. Like you have no idea what can trigger a big emotional response.
Yeah.
So I think by trying to like hide from that or feel shameful for feeling anything, sometimes like you miss coming to that revelation of why it really is affecting you.
Yeah.
So I think like you can't, even when you feel things that you're like, ooh, that's embarrassing. Like, why do I feel that? It still is something that like your body and your mind and your heart is telling you. So I first of all want to say like, you got to take that pressure off of you because you have every right to be mourning this loss. Like, I don't care if you haven't talked to your cousin in years. I have friends that like, we had a horrible friend breakup and it's been over like 5+ years, but I still would mourn them if I lost them. Like, people have seasons in your life and they have meaning to you. And so I think you have every right to be feeling what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I first want to start off, like take that pressure completely off of you. Because you're never going to get your full healing from like mourning, and not that you ever get closure when you lose someone, but, to start that healing process, you need to first be able to give yourself permission to feel that, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%. And I think with stuff like this, the older I get, the more I realize the second, like words are so powerful. The second you speak something out and share that feeling, like that thought of feeling like you don't deserve to mourn him, the second you share that with someone, the more normal it feels and like the less scary it is. And 99% of the time, the person you're sharing it with has felt that to some degree. Like, yeah. I feel like I've told Taryn some pretty dark stuff and she's just been like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
You know? And yeah. I like, it yeah, took yeah. everything. I don't share very easily. It took everything in me to like give that to Taryn and she'll just be like, oh yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wait, what? I thought I was like this horrible person. This?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I was this like, I thought I was sick in the head for thinking yeah. certain things or doing certain things. And then I'll share it with a friend and they always are just like, oh, that's normal.
Yeah.
Like I've done that before. It's okay. And I guarantee you, if you share how you're feeling with your parents or a family member or even a friend, they're going to be like, that's a normal feeling.
Yeah.
And you're not a horrible person for feeling no. that way, or you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Oh, it makes total sense. And like, I mean, it's your cousin, like it's a family, like, and nobody's going to be like, oh, your cousin passed. Well, how long since you've talked to them? Like nobody's mm-hmm. going to react that way.
It's your cousin.
So it's your family member. I mean, think about even like when Kobe passed, how much that affected
Oof,
everyone yeah. who hasn't even met him, but it's because everyone felt like a slight connection to him and like watching his career and his just mm-hmm. like freaking brilliance on the court. And so it doesn't matter. That's the thing. Like, that's what you have to cut is it doesn't matter. Like if you feel, a connection and a sadness to mm-hmm. someone, like you have a right to be sad if they pass. Oh, you know what I mean?
LA was a dark place yeah. when Kobe died. And
I cried.
No, none of us actually knew the yeah. guy, you know, but like yeah. we all, you know, felt some kind of representation through him. And I'm not even a huge sports person, but it's a sad story, yeah. you know? And it's like, you watched him growing up. Like my dad always watched him. And it's just, there's little things of little connections, even if you don't know the person, that will cause those emotions yeah. in you. So you are 100% valid
yeah.
for feeling that, but also have like, it's your cousin. You have yeah. every right.
We recently lost a family friend to COVID and it was a rough time for me. And I felt the same like guilt because, I was really close with, his daughter growing up. And then we kind of had like different things in life that like kind of just made us, you know, like separate, kind of go on our own paths. And I felt the same way of like, oh my gosh, like I haven't, yeah, our families have been so tight since like I was born basically, but it's been so long since I've been like close with her. And so I felt that same way. And I finally just reached out because I was like, I don't care. Like I still love her no matter what. And mm-hmm. so I reached out and said, sorry. And like tried to like help any way I could. And so we recently hung out and I just was honest with her about that. Yeah. And she said something, I'm telling you, first of all, it's just felt so good because there's been reconciliation in our relationship, but also watching her process the loss of her dad. I mean, I could cry right now. It's been like, just like crazy. Cause I can't even imagine like what that's like, but, she said something to me because we were talking about like how people, when you go through something and because of social media, like everything's so public, right?
Yes.
So jeez. We were talking about how like people come out of the woodwork. And is that how that phrase
woodwork,
goes?
Woodworks.
Come out of nowhere and are all of a sudden, you know, oh my God, I'm mm-hmm. so sorry, sending you love. Like people who were never nice to you, people who like, yeah. whatever. So I told her, we were talking about that. And I told her, I said, I was afraid. Like, I didn't want you to think I was disingenuous by reaching out. And she said like the most beautiful thing is she was like, I realized when everyone was reaching out, everyone else is mourning my dad too. Mm. And she's like, every person who's reaching out, that means that like they, my dad impacted them somehow. Mm-hmm. They're sad and they're hurting. And by reaching out, it's a way for them to feel better.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I realized like, I'm okay with that because like, that just means like my dad meant a lot. And I was just like, that is so beautiful that she's able to see, even though she's going through the hardest time of her life, she's seeing all these people and realizing like everyone's mourning him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't, not at the degree she is, and right. we'll never feel that.
Right.
But everyone is still like mourning the loss of him because he was a great man, yeah. you know?
It's almost like honoring him as well by checking in on his family,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that they're going to show up every single day and
yeah.
actually take care of you, but like checking in because they cared about him.
Yeah.
Which is a cool way to think about it.
Oh, totally. So I think all this to say, like, I think whether, you know, you don't have to keep like reaching out to the people that are close to him if you feel like they need space, but this is your personal journey and your story. And right now you're sad. You lost someone you loved. So share that with your family, share it with your friends. You know, me and Ash even like had a talk because I was having a really hard day after one of them and I mm-hmm. kind of separated. And I told them, I'm like, I know, like, obviously you guys aren't going to like be in this with me to an extent because you didn't know him. You're not feeling the things I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. So they still were there for me, but I was able to separate, like, obviously, like, I'm sad right now and like they're not going through what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. So if they say a response to something in a way that I'm like, I'm oversensitive, I'm getting my feelings hurt by everything.
Yeah.
You have to separate. Like if people aren't going through what you're going through, they're not going to be able to meet you exactly where you need mm-hmm. all the time. But if you're not going to explain to them where you're at, then you also can't get mad if they're not knowing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I had to sit and tell Ash, like I'm really struggling right now.
Yeah.
And then she was able to like be like, okay, I'm going to keep checking in on you. Like that kind yeah. of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm circle talking a little, but I just think all this to say, like you have to share with people when you're sad, like you mm-hmm. have to,
yeah.
otherwise life is so lonely. And that just creates so much room for different altercations because you're going to be more sensitive. You're going to be needing people, but they don't know. You know what I mean? It mm-hmm. just creates confusion. So I think you definitely need to give yourself freedom to mourn. You have every single right to mourn. And I think your friends and family need to be aware that you're struggling. And I think if you haven't already, I would reach out and just say, like, I think there's not really like, it's just words really. Like mm-hmm. when people pass, like I know when I lost my grandpa, I struggled with the things people would say to me, like them telling me like, oh, well he's in a better place. I was like, okay, yeah. But like, I want him here. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to like, things don't always like bring comfort.
Yeah.
But what brought me comfort was just the people that were like, I loved him and I love you and I'm yeah. here for you if you need anything, that yeah. kind of thing. So I would still like reach out to your family, let them know you love them and you're here for him and that you're mourning too. And, you know, just give yourself freedom to do what you feel like you need to in this time. So yeah, thank you so much, Anonymous, for trusting us with that story. I hope you feel supported through this and we're sending you a hug. And girl, go get that hug. Like go yeah. to just walk up to someone and be like, I need a hug. I need a hug. Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
Someone in your germ circle.
Yeah, in your germ circle. Not strangers.
Just to clarify.
Not people. We're not in promoting masks that. That you don't know. Yeah.
Oh shoot.
All right, Ash, you got yes, something for us?
I am very excited because Taryn and I have been talking about doing an Enneagram episode, like a fully dedicated Enneagram episode on this podcast for well over a year now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about it since we started this podcast. This is not that episode. We are going to be doing that episode in the future, but I'm going to be sharing an Enneagram story that someone sent in. So in preparation for our big Enneagram episode,
yes.
I wanted to let you guys know that one, we're doing it. Two, if you don't know what the Enneagram is, we are going to start on our Instagram, which is why we said it earlier. Follow us there. We are going to be sending out links to different types of tests. There's a bunch of free ones. There's also like a legit one where you can pay for it. I'm not going to push that on you guys. So
can I push it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I highly recommend paying the $12 and doing it because I took so many of the free ones and I'm not joking. One of the free ones I took, I was with a group of people and we all took a free one because we were sharing it and I took it and it legit said, we can't give you an answer because like it was like I scored basically on all these different ones. So it wasn't until I took the $12 one that I really got a clear defined answer that made sense for me.
Yeah.
So I know if you don't have $12, don't feel pressure because I think another thing, and you told me this, mm-hmm. like if you take the free one and you're kind of confused which one you fall under, just go through and read the explanation of each one. Mm-hmm. And the one that makes you feel, what'd you tell me? The most uncomfortable.
The one that bothers you is usually the one that you are. Like when I read what I was like, oh, hell no. Like, no, nope.
It's almost like, I don't want to be that.
Because something in you knows that that's what you struggle with. So let me just preface a little bit. This is not magic. This is not, you know, like going to fix all your problems. But let me just go ahead and explain exactly what it is. According to Truity.com, the definition and meaning of Enneagram is, the Enneagram is a system of personality typing that describes patterns in how people interpret the world and manage their emotions.
Love that.
Period. There's mm-hmm. basically 9 different types. And there is a lot that goes into this. We're not that deep. We're not going to go into it all that, you know, all the different details of it. But basically you are a number and you have a wing and you basically get to find out what you struggle with, how you interpret the world, what your love language is kind mm-hmm. of, and also what like bothers you the most. And, me and Taryn have found this to be extremely helpful. Like the best life tool that I have found thus far in my relationship with Taryn, in my relationship mm-hmm. with my family, and just me understanding myself, me understanding my sister who I've lived my whole life with. Like once I took this test, realized who I was, realized who she was, I was like, no wonder.
I remember I listened, because we were listening to the Sleeping at Last podcast mm-hmm. because he did a song for every number and I'm sure we'll get more into
we'll
that.
We'll post that on Instagram as well.
But I listened to the 9 episode and I remember I was by myself driving and I started crying because I was like, this poor girl, I'm talking about Ash, like this is what goes on in her head. And I talked to her about it later and she was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God. So yeah, it is such a tool, not only for, I've learned more about myself through this than anything because it just brings up so many defining questions about like your motivations in life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And this is what I need to be careful of. So we're huge freaking fans, like huge fans. And like she said, like, I've never really been into like horoscopes or like, you know, like things that are like like the motivation type stuff. That's like quick fix, like do this and then this will happen. Mm-hmm. But this is just such a like magnifying glass into like who you are.
It's extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, and there, what's cool is like, I'm a 2. And I know other 2s and yeah, we relate to some of the same stuff, but we also don't. So it's not like everything you read, it's going to be like that. It's, there's so many pieces to it. So anyways, we're big fans.
We're big fans. And that episode will be coming up. So if you guys don't know what you are and you are interested and you want to be a part of that episode, possibly,
you've been warned.
Then go to our Instagram. We'll have the swipe up links to the test, take the test, and then maybe send us a couple stories that you think, could be a good read for our Enneagram episode.
Wait, does that mean your story is about the Enneagram?
My story is about the Enneagram.
Oh, bless.
And I'm so happy that you said you're a 2 because so is this
Stop.
Girl.
Yes.
Hello.
Okay. I'm thriving.
I'm going to go ahead and get into it. This one is titled A Helper Who Cannot Help.
Uh-oh. I already feel bad for you.
They put in the title, not anonymous, which was very helpful.
Love that.
We asked for that last time to start putting it in the title.
Love that.
And you did it. And I couldn't be more grateful.
Love that.
So there's that. She writes, hello, beautiful souls. Hello.
Sounds sometimes, like a 2 like, already.
Yeah, I know. Like warm greetings like that just get me. My heart feels full.
Or when people are like, oh, you're such a goddess. Or like, you're so, I'm just like, oh, I instantly like sit up a little taller. I'm like, oh,
posture.
Yeah.
Before we begin, let me give you both a big head. I am an OG listener, heard an ad before your episode and subscribed before it even dropped. I have loved getting to know both of you through this show and following your socials and Ashley's YouTube. You both inspire me to be the best version of myself and have really helped me through my late 20s.
Oh, love that.
Well, my head feels big now.
I know.
I love it. Okay. Now onto my current situation. I am an Enneagram 2 Wing 3.
In oh my
parentheses,
God.
She adds, Taryn is legit my soul sister and spirit animal. Basically, guys, they share the same Enneagram number and wing, so they're very yes. similar in personality.
Yes.
So, of course, I love helping people. Also, I'm going to throw this in.
I was going to say, do you want to explain what a two is?
The number two. Well, actually, I feel like you should.
Okay.
Since you are one.
Okay. So the two is the helper. And basically, like, our existence in life is to, like, love and help and care for others. And our biggest struggle is we don't take care of ourselves because our focus is on everyone else. So the way that we get love is by people loving us. Mm-hmm. So it can get into a very unhealthy, almost manipulative state, and manipulative in like the best way, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's my struggle when I read about twos is I'm not a manipulative person. So when I hear that, I freak out, mm-hmm. but it's more in the sense of like desperation.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, if I'm in an unhealthy place and I'm needing love, I might go over the top to do things for Ash because I'm hoping that she'll then tell me that I'm needed or loved yeah. or things like that. So it can get into an unhealthy, almost like too clingy of a mm-hmm. state, which we've definitely,
yeah.
a two being best friends with a nine is
like, it's very funny because I'm the most like independent, don't touch me, yeah. I don't need you kind of person.
Yeah.
And I've learned that I have to,
she's got to throw people, me a bone.
For people that I care about, I need to learn how to vocalize
yeah.
my feelings yeah. for them.
Ashley's the type of person who's like, okay, but like, 6 months ago in the car, I told you you're my best friend in the whole wide world. So I don't understand why you need me to look at you,
you know,
and tell
friend.
You. Yeah. I told you 5,000 months ago. Why are we still having this conversation?
We had this conversation already.
Where I'm like, I need you to wake up every morning and be like, good morning, my best friend in the whole wide world.
Anyways, wow. That was
so anyways,
funny.
That's a two. So we love so aggressively, but we're left lacking sometime in yeah. and self-care is hard for us, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they always put everyone else first.
Yeah.
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 So she puts, so of course I love helping people. It's just who I am and what I know to do best in all of my relationships. Unfortunately, I'm at a loss on how to help my best friend right now. A little backstory. We were roommates in college and she's been my best friend ever since. She's 26 and we've been doing life together for about 8 years now. She was there through so many of my difficult moments. She is also an Enneagram 2, and she's been there for my happiest moments, most recently my wedding as my maid of honor. I love that.
Oh, cute. Sometimes I forget to pick the mic up.
I was like,
so I'm just talking into the room.
So my friend, let's call her Anne. Anne has been in a relationship for nearly 5 years with her boyfriend. We can call him Fred. And she's obviously very ready for the next step. She's 2 years older than he is, so he's just not quite where she is when it comes to emotions and maturity. Along with this, they both struggle immensely with mental health concerns, depression and anxiety for Anne, major depression, and potential bipolar disorder for Fred. Ooh. For years now, I have felt like she's just in this relationship because she feels like she doesn't deserve or won't find someone else to love her. While he is a good guy, he has always treated her, more like just a friend or roommate. Fred tends to shut down, hardly answers questions when he is spoken to, and neglects to take his meds regularly. Anne has been his rock for so long, but it seems like she is extremely codependent because she has to remind him to do things like register for classes or eat meals. I could go on and on, but I think you get the picture. I told Anne time and time again that she's too good for him, but she only responds with, he's my person and I believe in our relationship. But clearly he doesn't feel the same because he's never on her level. In August, she uprooted her life and moved 4 hours away with him so he could start a 5-year PhD program because he couldn't afford to live alone. He also recently purchased a ring, but now he's saying he might not finish school and he isn't ready to get married. If Fred can't even love himself and take care of himself, how will he ever be able to love and take care of Anne? It's a great question.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Fred has always struggled with communication and commitment. Their relationship even started after they had been together and broken up once. This past week, they went to visit his family, and Fred decided he needed time away from Anne, so he stayed home instead of being with her. But of course, he waited until they were trapped in a car for 4 hours to say this. For the past almost week, she's messaged me saying she is afraid he's going to dump her because he's being distant. Anyway, this is much longer than I intended, but I wanted to make sure you had all the facts. So, Taryn and Ashley, what do I do? I don't know if I will ever be okay with their relationship because I'm afraid and almost certain that it will end in disaster, leaving me to pick up the pieces of my very best friend's heart. How can I help her if she's not willing to help herself? What do I do if / when they split up? How does a helper survive when they can't help one of the people closest to them? I hope you get a chance to read this and have some wise words for my little helpless heart. Thanks again for all the light you bring into my life week after week. Sincerely, Rebecca. P.S. Here's a goofy picture of me and Anne, quote, from my wedding this past year.
Oh, cute. You're
so cute. Look at you. You're stunning.
Yes.
Look at the flowers, too. There's something about white and red.
Yeah.
At weddings, that's just like classy.
It always makes me think of Twilight.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Same. Same. Oh, my gosh. You. This is so cute.
Gosh. Someday if we get married,
I said if.
Someday if we get pictures.
She said someday if we get married. That's where we're at this year.
Yes, it's
TBH.
Ow.
Wow. Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing the story. I'm actually very thrilled that Taryn is a 2/wing 3 because I feel like we're going to get like the best advice from her.
Yeah.
I have a lot of feelings, but do you want to start it off?
Yeah. I mean, reading this or hearing Ashley read this, I was like, I've been there before. And I also can empathize with you so much. Mm-hmm. It is one of the hardest things when your literal existence feels like it is to care about the people you love.
Yeah.
When the people you love don't want your help. Like,
yeah,
it's hard. And I think there's different levels I want to approach. First of all, I think that what I've learned is that the more I'm able to make sure that I'm healthy myself, the better I can help someone else. Like that whole analogy of like the airplane, like how they say to put the masks on the parents before they put it on the kids. I never used to understand that, especially because of how I think. I'm like, that's the most selfish thing ever. Like, I'll never do that. But it's the whole, like, you can't help someone if you're not healthy. So I think like in times where people are, your whole focus is so hard on someone else and like that they're not okay, those are the times that I feel like I need to check in with myself the most, because I can sometimes become so obsessed with that.
Yeah.
That I almost become too involved.
Yes.
And
yes.
Overbearing.
Yes.
So I think like, obviously, like I would have to ask so many more clarifying questions to see like where you're really at in this situation. Mm-hmm. But I think what I would say is every time you're feeling like you're so consumed and like, what do I do for her? Make sure you're checking in with yourself too. But also like, it's so hard because like with relationship stuff, you can say as much as you want, but
sometimes
I've been there before. Like if she's, does it say she's a two or what?
She's also a two. I don't know if she's a wing three, but they're both twos.
Being a two that was in a relationship that went on way longer than it should have. Like I couldn't give up on him. Like I knew we were both struggling with things, and when you are too, like you're so committed to the people in your life. So the sad fact is it is going to end in heartbreak. Like that's kind of, it's going to be what happens, whether it's him leaving her or maybe she like is able to understand like by me staying with him and trying to help him so much, like it's almost doing more harm, which is hard for it to realize. Like it's hard to be like, oh, like my help is hurting. You know what I mean? So she probably is going to stay with him and want to be with him and things like that. So the only thing you can do is continue to be there for her and more invest in like her emotional health, not in the relationship. Like make sure like she's doing things for herself, encourage her to journal, encourage her to read books, encourage her for
therapy,
spa days, therapy, like kind of like try to help gas her up so that she's taking care of herself. And hopefully as she continues to get more healthy, she'll have some clarity, but also just prepare for that day when you're going to need to pick her up. And like, that's hard, but also that's part of being friends is knowing like, wow, she's making a mistake and it kills me that she's not listening to me, but like, I'll be here to catch her when she falls, you know?
Yeah. And I think as a friend, and this is coming from someone who's a little more independent that wouldn't necessarily want to interject myself into the situation, I would do everything I can to make sure that I've said my entire feelings. If I were you, I would talk to her. I'd maybe buy her coffee or, you know, take her, I don't know if you can do that right now, but like maybe buy her a little gift or sit her down, make her dinner and just be like, hey, I feel the need to share what's been on my heart. I want to like, fully like let you know I'm not going anywhere. I support you. I'm a ride or die. Like if we're doing this, we're doing this and I will be there for you this entire time. But I have to let you know that I think this is a bad decision. Yeah. Like I would preface it with all the love and support that you have, that you feel in your little two heart. But also like as a friend, I think it is your job to tell the truth.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, some of us just have to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And some of us, it doesn't matter how many people give you advice or tell you this is a bad decision. Mm-hmm. Some of us just have to walk down that road for ourselves and learn for ourselves. And that is her right as an adult, as a human being. So I think obviously you're the one, me and Taryn don't know her. You know her best. I think if I were you and I was in the situation knowing what I know, I would tell her how I feel, that I think it's a bad decision. However, I'll be there. If it goes good, I'll be there. If it goes bad, and then I would just let her do her thing.
Yeah.
But I would get that off my chest because otherwise it'll haunt you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Something I definitely think that I've found helpful and I've done with Ash quite a few times before, I just ask people like what they want my role to be. Yeah. So like with Ash, like she's started dating a guy before that I was like very wary of. And I straight up just sat with her and I was like, hey, what is this guy to you? Like, are you just having fun? Uh-huh. Like, are you in it for the long haul? And then I just said, like, do you want to know my opinion? Do you want me to just be supportive? Like, what do you want from me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even with other people, like if she's been in a situation where she's frustrated, I'm like, you want me to be mad with you or do you want like my advice? And like,
do you want my honest opinion or do you want me to just like be here and you know?
And there's times I tell her the same thing. I'll be like, I need you to talk crap with me because I'm pissed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I think that's what I've learned. And I would sit with her and with Ash, like I've been like, okay, here are my concerns. I'm just going to tell you them. But now like, you know what I'm concerned about, but I want you to know, like, I'm still going to support you and I'm still nice to the guy. Like, I'm still like, I get excited for her when she tells me like, oh, this happened and it's fun. But it's just like, you have to kind of like ask what they want your place to be in. And that's helpful for me because then I can be like, okay, they're not in a place. They want to hear what you have to say. So like you have to almost like shut that down until you feel like you're at a place where you have to say something.
Yes.
So I would just like, when you go to meet with her, be like, hey, I love you to death. I have zero reason or like weird motivation for talking to you about this stuff, but I love you and I'm always going to be around to protect you and to push you to be your best. So I want to share with you some concerns, but I also want you to know, like from the top, like I will support you and I will be here for you and I will love you and I will be happy when you're happy, sad when you're sad. But I can't call myself your best friend if I don't look out for you and at least just communicate like when I'm concerned.
Yes.
So I think if you lay that base, then sometimes like when you just put something in someone's head, then they start to see it for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that would be my suggestion, but it's hard as a two to kind of shut it down when you need to, but you have to make sure, because if not, it becomes all consuming and it starts to really affect you. So I would say what you need to say, make sure you really practice and are clear with like the points you're going to make.
Yeah.
And then once you get that out, then just be there to support her. And like I said, like focus all your energy in making sure she's healthy so that she hopefully can make the right decision on her own.
Yeah. I completely agree with Taryn, and it's okay to be a little selfish as a two and get this off your chest. My mom had a friend who she definitely took on way too much of her friend's problems and life issues, and it became hers, and it really did like dramatically affect her life.
That happens,
and if she were here, she'd be like, listen,
boundaries.
You need to draw a line and protect yourself and your heart as well. So if this feels like this is something that might be taking over your life, which it sounds like it might be, like right there, like kind of on the edge of like, this could be taking over your thoughts. Then, you know, do this for her, but also do this for you and get it off your chest so that it's done and you can actually, move forward with being a good friend and you don't have to think about it anymore because it's done.
Yeah, no, I fully agree.
Rebecca.
But it's hard. I feel like people read the Enneagrams and they're like, I've read so many things that are like, oh, twos are the only ones that like you read it and you're like, of course you would want to be a two. Like twos are so lucky. They don't have all these like, you know, you read the other ones and there's a lot of like more what can be interpreted as negative things like right from the top.
Yeah.
But being, being a two is really is hard. And especially during this time, like I think a lot of twos find themselves in occupations too, where they're helping a lot. Like my job was with kids and getting families support for when there's, you know, developmental delays and things like that. So when I first entered quarantine, I was like, why am I struggling so hard?
Cause you're like life's purpose disappeared. I'm like,
nobody needs me right now. And then I live with two people who are the most like independent, let's do dinner, let's leave the house without saying goodbye people. And I was like, what is happening? Like, and so it's been funny because I've definitely learned, I've had to learn more about you guys, like for my survival. Like I've had to understand you more to where I don't take things personal and I know how you guys work so I can adjust like how I need to work.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of twos right now being stuck in a house and not in like, you know, if I was living with a husband, that's different because we're dependent on each other. If I'm have kids, they need me. But right now I'm like, maybe I'm just obsessed with my dog and like I'm here and I'm doing what I need to. But yeah, it makes sense why, especially now, because you are at home, like you might fixate more on things as a two. So just beware of that.
Yeah. And obviously we'll get in more into this in the actual Enneagram episodes, but, as a two, if you don't have someone to dote on, to love on, to take care of, you kind of don't really know. This is just me as an outsider having read what I've read. You don't know what to do with yourself, but it's 100%. This is, I feel like we're getting off topic, but like it's 100% okay for you to focus on you.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to focus on just your dog or just your friend's relationship or your work or, you know, whatever. It's okay to like actually take 100% of the focus and focus it on you and take care of yourself. So
I love that.
Rebecca.
No, Ash helps me so much. So I think you should also like reach out to your two friends to find support, but you reach out to your other number friends for them to like, Ash will be like, no, Taryn, do it. Like you need to be selfish. Like do that. You need to make that decision.
The whole problem is Taryn thinks it's selfish.
I do.
It's not. Like that literally proves the point is, her focusing on herself feels like a selfish act. It's not. Yeah. Everyone else, every other number does it. And it's actually healthy.
Yeah.
Obviously there's a line where it becomes narcissistic, but like, you know,
no, it's good. Like you need other people. So I definitely think you need to lean on others, find make sure you're healthy, gas her up in the health episode, health area, if she's not willing to hear relationship stuff. But we love you, we support you, I feel you, and yeah, everyone who's listening, you better take that test, because you're gonna want to know. Because every two who's listening right now is like, "Oh my gosh,
say it again." So hurt. Yeah, I'm so seen.
Totally. So you definitely are gonna want to know your number going into this. I mean, it might be one episode. It might be two. We don't know.
Maybe we'll go through nine.
Girl,
Rebecca, thank you so much for sending this in. Were you done talking about Rebecca?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I mentioned her name twice to end it, and then you kept going, and I was like, oh.
I'm sorry. No, you know how good. I get when I'm
it makes sense, because she's all excited because she's talking to a fellow too. So guys, again, an Enneagram episode is going to be great. Go to our Instagram, figure out your number, read all about your number, listen to the Sleeping at Last episodes about your number. Mm-hmm. If you have a story or just like want to share about your life as that number, please send it in with the title Enneagram episode and said number, like whatever number you are. We're very much looking forward to this.
Yes.
We're going to hold off until we get enough, you know, episodes for, you know, not episodes. I can't speak
stories?
Right now. Stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to hold off until we get enough stories, but we're very excited to get this going. Mm-hmm. Do you have a dad joke to end it?
Yes, Karen? I do. Guys, okay. So one of my Christmas presents from Ashley was a book. Ash got me a dad jokes book that has 301 jokes.
Uh-huh.
And there's...
You should have seen me in the store when I saw it. I was like, is that a dad joke book?
I literally screamed when I opened this because I was so excited. And it's called it says the best of the worst dad jokes for the painfully punny parent. I already love it. So I'm literally just going to open and go to the first one. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready? Why is it always cold in stadiums?
In stadiums.
In stadiums.
Why is it always cold in stadiums? Uh-huh. I don't know.
Because they're full of fans.
Oh my God. I can never get these right. Taryn, look. I wish you guys could have seen me in the store. I had already purchased what I went to purchase and was like waiting for my sister to buy whatever she was buying. And I went in, you know, that area where it's just like a bunch of random stuff. Like
that's
random.
Dangerous.
And I was just like sitting there holding my bag and I was looking over everything and it caught my eye and I was just like,
it's so good.
This literally is the most Taryn thing I've ever seen.
The
had
cover
to buy
has
it.
Finger guns on it.
I literally went back in line to buy it after I had already purchased my purchase.
I love
Anyways,
that.
Guys, thank you so much. If you are here and you are here for the dad jokes, you're a true fan, and
yes,
we love
you
guys. Get excited for the Enneagram episode. Follow us on our socials, and we will talk to you guys in the next episode.
Love you all. Have a great day.
Bye.